All right, you're both safe. Sorry, we'll see. All right, to both say good morning. So first of all, Yashivach the Baruch Hashem for the Poppums. Thank you very much. For the Munchkins. The Munchkins, I'm sorry. And to brand integrity issues here. Okay, the Munchkins. And Shkoach to Ari, of course, for the beautiful spread that we have in the coffee. And Shkoach to everyone is coming. Baruch Hashem, we're going to have to maybe we'll do Camden Yards or something. I don't know. We'll have to find a different venue. Baruch Hashem. All right. Baruch Hashem. All right. So today's daf is daf yud. It's daf yud. So we're going to begin on the bottom of Tess Amud Beis. All right. Those who are sitting by the windows, if at any point in time you can't breathe, feel free to open them a little bit more. Okay. All right. Or switch seats to someone else who doesn't mind. I'm sorry? Yeah. The what? Yeah, I'm getting also want to thank the sponsors of this morning. Sure to thank Seth and Rachel Rotenberg for sponsoring in memory of Seth's father, Wolfgang Rotenberg, Zev Ben Chaim Shmuel, Zichron Lebracha. Where is Seth? I remember again in my early memories in Baltimore was Seth coming with his father to the afternoon shir. I don't remember what we were learning. Maseches Brachos. Maseches Brachos, I think, in those days. And it was such a beautiful thing to see father and son learning together every single Shabbos. Really quite beautiful. Seth, we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, your father's neshama has an aliyah. So we begin on both sides. Again, today's daf is Yud. We began Tes Amud Beis. Last couple of lines by the two. That's Tana Rabbanon. Echot hanoteya, echot ve'echot hamavrich, ve'echot hamarkiv erev shvius. So listen to this. So Mishnah talks about the Brayis talks about the following situation. If somebody plants, that's noteya. Mavrich, if you look at Rashi, he explains, kofev es hazmuros ba'aretz shekorin purufino. It's actually very interesting. What you would do is one of the ways of creating additional vines would be if you took a vine and you took obviously one end is in the ground, you took the other end and you bent it over and you planted it in the ground as well. So over time, actually not so long, so that additional end would develop roots. Then what you would do is you would cut the vine in the middle, thereby essentially creating two new vines. So that's called mavrich, ve'echad ha-markiv. Markiv is grafting. Now the grafting that they're referring to over here, Rashi says, markiv ilan bechadero. What you would do is if you have a tree and the tree has an opening, you would take the branch from another tree and insert it into that tree, and over time again, that branch would develop roots within that major trunk. So if you do any of these things, Erev Shavuos, now when are you doing this? You're doing this again on the eve of a Shemitah year. On the eve of a Shemitah year. So again, as we said already, Shemitah begins in Tishrei. So sometime before Tishrei, you're doing this. So the Raisa says, if you do it Shloshim Yom Lefnei Rosh Hashanah, if you did this 30 days and earlier, before Rosh Hashanah, before Tishrei, also Lo Shanu Mutar L'Kayma. So two ramifications happen. Now remember again, so what it's saying is, if you did it 30 days, so first of all, again, what the Brice is saying is 30 days constitutes an entire year. So for example, the ramification of this would be for Arla. Let's say again, you're going ahead and you're planting a tree. So if you're planting a tree, or let's go with planting a tree. So if you're planting a tree with 30 days prior to the new year, which happens to be a Shemitah year as well, ramification number one is that those first 30 days count as a year. As a year, remember again, Arla means you cannot consume fruit of the first 3 years, and therefore again, Lamaisa, those first 30 days count as a year. Ramification number two is that because it was planted 30 days prior to Shemitah year, again, it's considered to be a permissible planting. Remember, we already established over the last 2 days that there's a concept of adding on from Shemitah onto the previous year as well. What the Brisa seems to be saying is, the Shemitah edition is 30 days. 30 days already prior to the Shemitah year, that is already considered to be Shemitah. So if you plant it 30 days and earlier, so number one, you get a full year. Number two, it's considered to be a legal planting. However, And therefore, again, also loshana, it's counted as 1 year of the arla. And number two, mutar lekayman b'shvius. You're permitted to go ahead and sustain this plant over the Shemitah year. However, pachos mishloshim yom, but if you planted it within 30 days of Tishrei of the Shemitah year, lifnei Rosh Hashanah, lo also loshana. So number one, again, I will say these two things don't have to work concurrently, meaning the Shemitah and the year thing do not have to work in the same way. So for example, again, let's say I planted it 30 days before Rosh Hashanah. Let's say it's a non-Shemitah year, for argument's sake. So ramification number one is what? That Lamaisa, within 30 days prior to Tishrei, it does not count as a year for Arla purposes. So again, just count as whatever number of days. The real year clock will begin only as of Tishrei. But also the kind of Shemitah. And if it happens to be that the next year is a Shemitah year, then what? You would not be permitted to maintain that plant, which means what? The most likely, you actually have to actively uproot it, because any illegal planting that occurs during the Shemitah year must be uprooted. So again, what comes out from this brisa is a very simple principle, which is that 30 days prior to the Shemitah year, first of all, within 30 days, Shemitah restrictions already apply, even though what? Even though it's not yet the calendrical Shemitah year, because you've already established that we add on from the Shemitah year onto the previous year as well. How much do we add on? According to the brisa, within 30 days. So that's ramification number one. Ramification number two is that Lamaisa, if you planted a tree, a fruit tree, as long as you planted it 30 days and earlier, 30 days and more prior to Rosh Hashanah, those first 30 days count as what? Count as year number one. So by the time you get to Tishrei, your Arla tree is actually already entering, or your fruit tree is already entering into what? Into year number two. Good. Top of Yud. But however, there is an interesting caveat with this, lest you think that you get all of the benefit. However, uperos netiyazu asurin ad tu bishvat im la arla veim la revai revai. That was a very interesting ramification. However, so let's play this out. Let's forget about Shemitah for just a moment, and let's just focus on arla. So what the Bryce is telling me is like this. So let's call it just to illustrate this in a simple way. Let's call it that tav shin samech hay. So Tavshin Ayin Hei is going to be a Shemitah year. So okay, so this coming year is going to be a Shemitah year in Eretz Yisrael. So now let's according to the Brisa, what the Brisa is saying is like this. If I planted on, forget about Shemitah, now I'm saying Shemitah. So let's say this, Tavshin Ayin Hei is coming. I plant a tree on the last day of Av. So what's the halacha? So therefore, again, all of Elul, those 30 days constitute a year. Comes Rosh Hashanah, I'm already entering into year two. And I will say, using that logic, one would have assumed that when do those fruits become permitted? So again, therefore, it turns out that Elul of Tavshin Ayin Dalid was year one. Then I have Tavshin Ayin Hey, and then Tavshin Ayin Vav. And I would have assumed that right after Rosh Hashanah, Tavshin Ayin Vav, those fruits become permitted. The Mishnah says not so quickly. The fruits actually don't become permitted really until when? Until Tu Bishvat of that third year. There's one of the concept as well. Actually, Tavshin Ayin Zayin. Excuse me, Ayin Zayin, not Vav. So now, again, now what the Gemara is saying is like this, that even though those fruits, technically speaking, enter into their third year on Tavshin Ayin Zayin, they don't become permitted immediately at Rosh Hashanah Tavshin Ayin Zayin, but rather, you have to wait until Tu Bishvat of Tavshin Ayin Zayin in order to be able to consume those fruits. Now, this is not just about Arla. Arla means what? That for the first 3 years, you can't consume the fruit. What happens to fruit on the fourth year? There's something called Kerem Revai or not a Revai, which means what? The fruit could be consumed with one caveat, which is it must be consumed in Yerushalayim. It's actually treated almost like Maaser Sheni, right? Maaser Sheni is yours to be consumed, but you have to eat it in Yerushalayim. So too, again, Kerem Revai or Nata Revai, fourth year produce must be consumed in Yerushalayim. So what the Gemara is saying over here is the only time it actually becomes permitted in the third or the fourth year is when? Is after Tu Bishvat. Look at Rashi for just a moment. So Rashi says, Uperos netiyazu asurin, va'avapi sha'amarnu ol solo shana. So even though we said that 30 days constitute a year, imchantu ba'peros la'achar Rosh Hashanah, shal shana shlishes, if fruit did in fact bloom after Rosh Hashanah on the third year, miyad, adayin asurin hein olamis mishum arla. They are still asur because of arla. Sha'afapi sh'Rosh Hashanah tishrei l'netiyah, because even though we said Rosh Hashanah is the new year for Arla, Tu Bishvat, Rosh Hashanah le'ilam. Tu b'shvat nevertheless is the new year for trees, fruit trees. V'zu kvar na'ases ilan. And this has already become a tree. Lefichach ein shenasa mischadesh es lotzitz midei arla at tu b'shvat. Therefore, again, the fruit of the tree does not really leave its orla designation until Tu B'Shvat. Aval misham ulahalon, but from Tu B'Shvat and on, this is Tu B'Shvat in the third year and on, im yachnutu ba peros, if the fruit in fact does blossom, din revai aleihem. They will have the status of not to revai or can revai fourth year produce, le'echo b'Yerushalayim, that they can be consumed, but in Yerushalayim. Ubitu b'shvat l'shana haba, and a tu b'shvat in the following year, which would be again for Arla in the fourth year, for Kerem or not to revai in the fifth year, yotza mide revai peros achanutim b'mikan ve'elech. Lekacho ila la lamid yom shelafanav, shethen Rosh Hashanah, shememaher hetera mitu b'shvat v'ad Rosh Hashanah. So we'll say, it's very interesting. It sounds complicated, but it's actually not. If it's actually, so listen to this. What we're saying is, the first principle we established is that 30 days constitutes a year. Therefore, as long as you planted fruit before Rosh Chodesh Elul of this year, so that Chodesh Elul will count as what? As 1 year for your Orla purposes. But, lest you think that means is that all you need to go through is what? Two more complete, see, I might have thought, if you didn't see this file, please, I would assume that, therefore, how does Arla work in this situation? Give me the full calendrical year of Tavshin Ayin Hey, and the full calendrical year of Tavshin Ayin Vav. Couple those two full calendrical years with what? With the last month of Tavshin Ayin Dalid, and therefore, what does that give me? By the time we come to Rosh Hashanah, Tavshin Ayin Zayin, I'm free and clear. I've had 3 years, my fruit is permitted. The Gemara just adds in a caveat, no. The fruit is not permitted again, Rosh Hashanah Tavshin Ayin Zayin, but when does it become permitted? Tu B'Shvat of Tavshin Ayin Zayin. So also, I want to be clear, you still benefit, right? You still benefit from this 30-day equaling a year. How do you benefit? Because technically speaking, again, remember, I pick up all that time between Tu B'Shvat Tavshin Ayin Zayin and what? And Rosh Hashanah Tavshin Ayin Ches, which is a good half a year that I pick up there in the middle. But the Gemara is just saying, L'maisa. I will say, the reason for this, we'll actually get into later on. Now, this is rabbinic in nature. Because the truth is, if you really hold that ultimately 1 month equals a year, L'maisa, again, that 1 month should count as the year, and really the produce should become permitted on Rosh Hashanah Tavshin Ayin Zayin. But we'll see, essentially, what's happening over here is, what the Gemara is going to do is you can't play it both ways. If you're going to tell me that Lamaisa, so therefore again, 1 month equals a year, which means by the end of this year, it has the status of a tree, not the status of a sapling. If that's the case, then Lamaisa, again, the maturation of the tree should really be governed by Tu B'Shvat and not by Rosh Hashanah, not by Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, which ultimately, again, is Rosh Hashanah for Netios, for saplings. So all it's saying is, you can't take advantage of this both ways. If 30 days equals a year, then the plant no longer has the status of a sapling, it has the status of a tree. If it has the status of a tree, then its fruit should only become permitted when? On the Rosh Hashanah for Ilanos, which at least according to Beis Hillel is when? Is Tu B'Shvat. Okay, but at the end of the day, even though you can't get the benefit on both ends, you still do benefit because the fruit actually becomes permitted a good 6 months earlier. Fine. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan Umata Bei Mishmei Rabbi Yanai. So I'm sorry, the Gemara says Minahani Miri. So where do we know this from? Amar Rabbi. So I'm going to say, and again, remember this same concept applies to both Orla as well as Revai. Remember, Revai is just the year after the other. So whatever is going to be true for Arla is going to be true for Revai. So just like by Arla, the fruit of this tree will actually not become permitted until Tu B'Shvat of the third year. So too, the Revai will not become permitted. When I say Revai not become permitted, it means it won't become fifth year produce, which means produce you can do whatever you want until when? Until Tu B'Shvat of the fourth year. So the Gemara says, Minahani Mili, where do we know this from? Because the pasuk says, "Ubishana harvias." Excuse me, I should say, "Uvashana harvias," and it will be in the fourth year. "Uvashana hachamishes," and in the fifth year. So I'll say here, the pasuk is the pesukim we're just talking about that in the fourth year, "Yihiu kol piryo kodesh hilulah mashem." In the fourth year, your produce is still sanctified. And then in the fifth year, the Torah says you can eat the produce however you want. Now, what the Gemara is picking up on is the following. Look at Rashi. Rashi is, Ubashana harevias, vav mosif al inyon rishon. Yiyelachem Areilim. Now remember again, the previous pasuk is talking about Shemitah, that for the first 3 years you may not partake of the produce. And then what does the next pasuk say? Uva Shana Haravias. What the Gemara is picking up on is that Vav is what we call a Vav Hamosif. It's adding on to the topic previously discussed. So right after the Gemara discusses, the Torah discusses Shemitah, the Torah says, Uvashana Haravias, and on the fourth year. And then what does the Torah say afterwards? Uvashana Chamisha. So what is the Torah doing? Torah is linking the fourth year and the fifth year to the Shemitah year to teach you what? Pa'amim Sherebiravias Va'adayin Asura. Because there could be times when it is the fourth year and it is still aser mishum arla. Upamim shebechamishis, and there are times when it is the fifth year. Va'adayin asura mishum revai. There are times when it could still be the fourth year, and yet what? The item will still be categorized as Shemitah, and there are Shemitah produce, and there are times when you might be in the fifth year, and the items, the produce, is still categorized as revai. Look at Rashi. Rashi says the following. Pamim shebirevius, kegon imiharu perosav lachnot birevius, lifnei shvat. So, for example, again, you could have a situation where lemaisa, you could be into the fourth year. Now, where would you have the case of where you're into the fourth year? Now, remember, we're merging years over here. Let's say, again, I'm in the third year, technically, right? In our third year, after Rosh Hashanah. But now, again, remember what we said before, this produce actually does not leave its Arla designation until when? Until Tu B'Shvat. So Tu B'Shvat represents not going into the fourth year, but yet the produce will still be usher as Arla produce. Why? Because if it bloomed after Rosh Hashanah on the third year, prior to Tu B'Shvat, that is still considered to be Arla produce. So therefore, this Torah is teaching me that you could have Arla produce that is still prohibited in the fourth year. It's calling the fourth year the time after Tu B'Shvat. When would Arla produce be usher even after the fourth year? If it blossomed prior to Tu B'Shvat of the third year, which would then make it Arla produce. Once it's Arla produce, it's usher even after Tu B'Shvat. Similarly, look at the next Rashi. Rashi says, "Pamim shebechamisha, shebechamishes kigon peros shechantu bo kodem shvat tuunin chilu." Avalim ichra chanitasa ad laachar tu b'shvat in bohen isus. So we'll say, therefore, same thing with revai. You can have revai produce that blossomed after Tishrei of year number four, Tishrei of near year number four. But lemaisa again, it will still be considered to be revai after Tu B'Shvat of year number four. So all the Gemara is just pointing out over here is from the fact that the Torah links these phrases of Shana HaRevias and Shana HaChamishes teaches us that what? That sometimes there are strange calendrical occurrences or realities that occur with Arla and Revai produce. So just to summarize all of this very succinctly, all the Gemara is saying is like this. Point number one is we have this concept that what? 30 days can count as a year. Now, boss, I understand when you read that at first glance, that is a huge, huge bonus, because what it's saying is, it sounds like you've just shaved off 11 months off one of the years of the Arla prohibition, right? If 30 days count as a year, I've just shaved off 11 months. I get 1 month, that equals a year, two more calendrical years, I'm good to go. Therefore, the Brisa qualifies that it is not so fast. Because in year number three of the Arla prohibition, and by extension in year number four of the Revai prohibition, you may not eat produce until when? Until after Tu B'Shvat. And I want to be clear on something. When we say you can't eat produce until after Tu B'Shvat, what that means is you may not eat the produce that blossoms, you may only eat produce that blossoms after Tu B'Shvat. Meaning that if you have produce that blossomed in the first part of that third year of Arla between Tishrei and the 15th of Shvat, that is Arla produce. What do you do with Arla produce?
Nothing.
You can't do anything with it. So meaning, again, this is even though it's blossoming in the calendrical third year, you may only eat produce that blossoms from Tu B'Shvat and on in the third year. Extending it, fourth year produce is yours, but you must eat it in Yerushalayim. So again, if produce blossoms in the calendrical third year, after Tishrei, but before Tu B'Shvat, that is Revai. You can eat it, but what? But what? You have to eat it in Yerushalayim. It's only produce that blossoms from Tu B'Shvat and on in the fourth year that has the status of fifth year produce, which then is just regular produce, which you can eat wherever you want. And all the Gemara is doing is bringing us the concept that Lemais, again, the fact that the Torah juxtaposes these phrases, Revias and Chamishas, to Arla, indicates to us that sometimes you could even have Arla in the fourth year. Sometimes you could even have Revai in the fifth year. Okay, so the Gemara goes weiter. So now the Gemara goes back to this price and says, This brisa clearly does not reflect the view of Rabbi Meir. Because Rabbi Meir says, what does Rabbi Meir say? Now remember, again, before we get to what Rabbi Meir says, the brisa says that how much time constitutes the most basic unit of a year? 30 days. So the brisa does not reflect the view of Rabbi Meir. Why? What does Rabbi Meir say? Did Rabbi Meir ha'amar yom echad b'shana chashashana? Because Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that what Rabbi Meir says? One day counts. You remember, we saw Rabbi Meir. What did you see Rabbi Meir the first time? In the beginning of the Masechta by kings, right? So again, clearly again, the Brice does not affect the view of Rav Meir, because this Sanya, and I will say, where does Rav Meir say a Shida? The Sanya, Par HaOmer B'Torah, Stam Ben Esrim Va'arba Ochodesh, V'yomech D'Rav Meir. And we'll say, we'll see, when the Torah speaks about a par, a bull that is to be offered as a carbon, a Stam Par has to be at 3 years old. 3 years old. So Rav Meir says, what's the definition of 3 years old? Definition of 3 years old is 24 months and 1 day. Because why? Because Rabbi Meir is clearly of the opinion that what? 1 day counts as a year. Rabbi Elozer, Omer Elozer says, Ben Esrim Ba'arba Chodesh, you need 24 months, the Lamid Yom, and 30 days. So we'll say again, Rabbi Elozer is of the opinion that 30 days constitutes a year. Shahir Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir said, Komakom Shine Emar Egel B'Torah, whenever the Torah says Egel, this is all by sacrificial animals, whenever the Torah says an Egel, a calf, Stam Ben Shana. So unqualified Egel always means an eagle that is 1 year old. Ben Bakar, whenever it says a Ben Bakar. Ben Shtayim, that means 2 years old. Par, whenever it says par, unqualified. Shalosh, that means 3 years old. So therefore again, Rabbi said, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that Lamaisa, what comes out is Rabbi Meir holds Yom Echad B'Shana, 1 day of the year, counts as a year. Therefore, the Braisa that said that in order for a unit of time to count as a year for all the purposes, you must have 30 days, clearly does not reflect the view of Rabbi Meir. To which the Gemara says, maybe not. Afilu tem Rabbi Meir. Maybe not. Maybe it's even the view of Rabbi Meir. How can you say that? Ki kam Rabbi Meir, yom echad b'shana, chashuv shana. When does Rabbi Meir say that 1 day of the year counts as a whole year? Besof shana. That refers to the end of the year. Ava betchilas shana lo. But at the beginning of the year, even Rabbi Meir would agree that you need something more substantive than a day. Now, I will say, what does this mean? Now, this doesn't sound like the way you think it sounds. Look at Rashi. Rashi says over, Kikom Rab Meir besof shanim, kigon yom echad b'shana, shlishish shu sof hechsha shnosav shapar. When does Rabbi Meir say that 1 day counts as a year? 1 day counts as a year at the end of the counting process. Sof over here doesn't mean the end, the calendrical end. He means over here, when does 1 day count as a year? When you are at the end of a counting process. So for example, if that bull already has 24 months under its belt, Rabbi Meir will say that what? 1 day counts as the third year. Because since you already have the bulk of the time under its belt, under its cow belt, bull belt, right? Right. Meaning it already has most of its time. Most of its time. Therefore, again, 1 day counts as a year. However, Ava betchilas shanim, Rashi says, kigon shana rishona shal netia, shetchilas minyan shnei or lo amar. But Rabbi Meir perhaps does not, but holds that what? At the beginning of a counting process, you can't say that 1 day equals year. Which Rabbi said, there's a lot of logic behind this. Essentially, what Gemara is positing is, Rabbi Meir holds, if you've already gone through the majority of the time, then you could say that one small unit represents a larger total unit of time. But to say at the beginning that 1 day counts as a year, when again, no real time has elapsed, perhaps Rabbi Meir does not hold that way. So again, therefore the Braisa could still reflect the view of Rabbi Meir. Because what does the Braisa say? The Braisa says that 30 days constitutes a year at the beginning of the Arla cycle. Rabbi Meir may very well agree with that. He may very well agree that 30 days is the most basic unit to count as a significant unit of time. But 1 day only counts on the end, but 1 day cannot count as a year in the beginning, to which the Gemara says, Amar Rabba, Rabba says that can't be. V'lav kavachomer. The truth is the kavachomer. What's the kavachomer? Uman nida she'in tchilas hayom olala b'sofa. What's that? It's very interesting. When it comes to a nida, literally translated, the ain't chilas hayom olo b'sofa, the beginning of the day does not count for the end. And I will say, what does that mean? It means that midda oraisa, a woman has to count 7 days. 7 days. Leaving aside the way we observe midda today, which is a little bit different than biblical nida. But a woman has to observe 7 days. And the truth is, this applies for us today when a woman observes Shiva Nikim, 7 clean days. So what happens? So we don't say that as long as she observes part of the 7th day, that that's enough. She has to observe the 7th day in its totality. Yet, sof hayom, olala bitchilasa. But the Rebbe says, yet we know that what? A partial day in the beginning does work. What does that mean? The Rebbe says, if a woman becomes a nida, let's say again, right before Shkia, right before, let's say today is Sunday, a woman becomes a nida 15 minutes before Shkia, 15 minutes before sunset, today counts as her first day. Today counts as day one, even though what? She's only had a partial day. So Rava says like this, if by Nida, a partial day does not count in the end, but it does count in the beginning, Shana, when it comes to the calculation of a year, Sheyom Echad Olala B'Sofa, that one day, a partial unit of time, does count at the end, according to Rabbi Meir, that one day on the end of the counting, for example, again, let's say by the animal, as long as you have one day of the third year, that counts as what? The whole day. Then certainly what? Eino din sheyom echad ola betchilasa. Then it goes without saying that what? That one day at the beginning should also count as the whole. It's an interesting kal v'chomer. What the Gemara is saying is like this, if by Nida, a partial day does not work at the end, but does work at the beginning. So certainly according to Rabbi Meir, certainly according by time, where one day counts as a year in the end, it should certainly count as a year in the beginning as well. An interesting kal v'chomer. So the Gemara goes on. The Gemara says, the common denominator between both of those is that they're both focused on counting time. That's the idea. They're both time-focused. The Elamai. So therefore, again, what are you going to have to say? So therefore, Rabbi said, what the Gemara just proved over here is that no, Rabbi Meir would really hold that one day counts as a year, both at the beginning of counting of time and when? At the end of counting of time. If that's the case, then we're back to square one. Rabbi said, what are we trying to figure out? We're trying to figure out who is the author of our Braisa. Because our Braisa said that in order for a year to be counted, in order for a unit of time to be counted as a year, first year of Arla, the tree must be planted 30 days before the onset of the new year. So now that we've just established, it can't be Rabbi Meir. Because according to Rabbi Meir, how much time do you need to elapse to be counted as a year? One day. And now we've just proved, by the way, or at least we think we've proven that according to Rabbi Meir, that one day should both count at the beginning of the counting of time as well as at the end of count. So whose opinion does the Braisa reflect? Elamai Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Elozer. So maybe you'll say it's Rabbi Elozer. Now the Gemara is really asking a question over here. So who are we going to say it's like Rabbi Elozer? Now remember, Rabbi Elozer was of the opinion that it was Shloshim Yom. Remember, Rabbi Elozer was of the opinion that if you want to offer a bull has to be 3 years old. And according to Rabbi Elozer, how do you determine 3 years old? As long as it's what? 24 months and 30 days. So therefore, again, it sounds like Rabbi Elozer could be the author of our Braisa, except for one problem. So really, the Gemara asks Rashi, it's Bitmiya. The Gemara says, Rabbi Elozer, my Rabbi Elozer, you're going to tell me it's Rabbi Elozer? Therefore, what would be the problem with Rabbi Elozer? Listen to this. Shloshim Ushloshim Boy. According to Rabbi Elozer, Rabbi Elozer should actually require you to have to plant it 60 days prior to the new year. If the Braisa is going to reflect the view of Rabbi Elozer requires 60 days. Why 60 days? Look at Rashi for just a moment before we even read the rest. Shloshim Ushloshim Bai, Lamed Yom Leklita, Shetehene Shreshes Baretz, Ushloshim Yom Lechashivas Shana. Now there's another very interesting caveat. In order for a sapling to have counted as having experienced a year within this short amount of time, it had to have taken root. So meaning the only way 30 days count as a year is if what? Is if the sapling took root before the 30 days. Now, Rabbi Elozer's sheet, as we're going to see in just a moment, is that it takes 30 days for a sapling to take root. Therefore, if you're going to tell me that 30 days count as a year, really what do I need? I need 60. Why? 30 for the sapling to take root. Then once it's taken root, the next 30 could go ahead and count as the first year. And we'll see, you see where all of this is heading. Just observe 3 years of Arla. All right, it's a lot easier for everyone. So look at Rashi. Rashi, look at that Rashi again. Shloshim boy. So he says Yom leklita shetein ishreshes baaretz. So you need 30 days for the sapling to take roots. Ushloshim yom lechashiva shana. And another 30 days, because remember again, the clock can't start to be counted as an early year until when? Until the sapling has actively taken root. V'imia klito ein olima. And remember, the days that the sapling is taking root do not count towards the calculation of the actual early year. D'kiman d'manach b'beis adamya kozman shel kol. It's very interesting because the halacha views a sapling that has not taken root as no different than what? A plant that you have sitting on your kitchen table. It's very interesting. So because it's no different than a plant that's sitting on your kitchen table, therefore lemaisa, the calculation or the counting of the early years cannot take effect until it actually takes root. So therefore the Gemara says the Braisa can't be Rabbi Elias or Lazar. Because according to Rabbi Lazar, you really should require what? You really should require 60 days. 30 days for the taking root, and then once it's taken root, another 30 days for the counting of the year. Now the Gemara quotes it. This nod. Ein notin the ein mavrichin the ein markivin erev shvius poches milame yom lefnei Rosh Hashanah. You may not go ahead and plant. You may not mavrichin. We say that's the case of taking the other side of the vine, putting it into the ground, allowing it to take root, and then snipping it in the middle. The ein markivin. Nor can you graft a branch into a tree erev shvius and the eve of Shemitah. Less than 30 days before Rosh Hashanah. Because we will say again, less than 30 days doesn't give it what? The opportunity to go ahead and take root before Shemitah. And if you did so, and if you did it, Rabbi said, within 30 days of the Shemitah year, what do you have to do? You have to go ahead and actively uproot it, because any illegal planting that takes place on Shemitah must be uprooted. Rabbi Yehuda says, call her kava she'ena koletes begimol yamim shuv ena koletes. Rabbi Yehuda has an interesting shita. Rabbi Yehuda says that lemaisa, everything takes root in 30 days. He says literally by grafting, but he's not just commenting by grafting. He says that in general, plants take root within 30 days. Well, excuse me, 3 days. I'm sorry. So there again, for again, once you have 3 days, you're fine. Rabbi Yossi says, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, shtei shabbosos. So you have Rabbi Huda saying that plants take root in 3 days. You have Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon saying they take place in 2 weeks. They take root in 2 weeks. But Amar Rab Nachman, Amar Rabbi Baravua, so listen to this. No matter what you hold, everyone agrees in the following. L'divrei ha'omer lamed, so according to the opinion who says that it takes trees, I'm just focusing on trees right now, 30 days to take root. Therefore, what do you need? Sarich lamed u'shloshim. See, Rabbi Yossi, see, here's what's going to happen. If you want this period of time to count as Arla, to count as year of Arla, everyone's going to agree that what? You need to make sure that your tree takes root prior to 30 days before the new year. Because what you're going to have to use, because remember, Rabbosai, if you are planting right before the 30 days, then one thing is clear, which is what? Which is what? Now, remember, planting 30 days before the new year is okay. That's okay. It's just that what? It's just that then you're eating into your 30 days, and therefore what? It can't count as a year of Arla. Can't count as a year of Arla. So if you want it to count for a year of Arla, so depending, whatever your Shita is, you have to plant your tree that amount of time before the 30 days. So therefore again, L'divrei HaOmer, so let's just go through this. L'divrei HaOmer Lamed, so according to the one who says that it takes 30 days for a tree to take root, Sarech Lamed Ushloshim. You need to plant it 30 days, really 60 days before, 30 days to allow the tree to take root, and then the next 30 days could count as a year of Arla. L'divrei HaOmer Shalosha, according to the opinion who says that what? That it takes 3 days. Tarek Shalosha Shaloshim. Then what? You need 33 days. 3 days for the plant to take root. 30 days for it ultimately to be counted as a year of Arla. L'divrei HaOmer Beis Shabbosos, according to the opinion who says that lemaisa you need 2 weeks. So then again, you need to plant it shtei shabbosos u'shloshim. You need to plant it 2 weeks before. I just want to be clear on this. This is we're looking at this ramification of Arla, but according to these opinions, lemaisa, in order not to violate Shemitah, you also have to back it up this amount. Because again, remember, anything you can't have your plants taking root during the period of Tosefes Shemitah. So really, halacha lemaisa, what the Gemara is saying over here is you have to be able to plant your trees early enough prior to the Shemitah year that the plants have already taken root when? Prior to 30 days before Shemitah. Because remember again, 30 days before Shemitah already represents the period of Tosefes Shemitah, already counts as Shemitah. Therefore, in order to maintain those fruits, those trees into the Shemitah year, they must have taken root when? When? Prior to the 30 days prior to Shemitah. V'inami, Sarosai. So now, what comes out is something very interesting. So now the truth is, the Braisa is difficult according to everyone. Why? Because, remember, what did the Braisa say? The Braisa just seemed to indicate that what do you need to do? As long as you plant it before 30 days, you're fine. Now, the truth is, no one's really sanctioning planting right before the 30 days. Because, again, remember, everybody needs at least what? Right? Three at the minimum. Meaning 33 days is your minimum. So the Gemara says, V'inami, K'rabi Yehud Sfira. Like, maybe you'll say that Rabbi Lazar holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Even though Rabbi Lazar holds like Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, Ushloshim boy. And therefore, again, I'm sorry. V'inami K'rabi Yehud Sfira. Gimul Ushloshim boy. So we'll say, even if you hold that Rabbi Lazar holds like Rabbi Yehuda, remember, Rabbi Yehuda is the most basic Shita who holds that what? 3 days. You're still going to need 33 days, which means, again, that the Braisa is still problematic because the Braisa makes it sound like, what do I need? Is what do I need? 30. All I need is 30 days. Elali Olam Rabbi Meir. Rather, Rabbi Lazar, let's go back. Our Braisa holds like Rabbi Meir. Now, again, remember, we assume that the Braisa does not hold like Rabbi Meir. Why? Because Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that Yom Echad Kishana, that one day counts as the year. Therefore, I don't need 30 days to count as a year. One day is enough to count as a year. I say, how could it reflect Rabbi Meir? V'chi ka'amar lamed liklita. So listen to this. So we'll say, Rabbi Meir's sheet does like this. It's very interesting. Rabbi Meir holds, on one hand, that Yom Echad Kishana, one day counts as the year. And he also holds that what? In order for a tree to take root, what do you need? You need 30 days. So therefore, again, when the price it says 30 days, 30 days is really for what? For taking root. Because all you need is what? All you need is one day to count as the year. But the Gemara says, still, ihachi lamid aleph boy. That's fine. I buy that. But still, you need what? You need 31 days. 31 days, Kranjer Meir. 30 days for the tree to take root. One day to count as the year in Shalom al Yisrael. To which the Gemara answers, this is very interesting. We've seen this already before. Kasavar yom lamed ola lekan ulekan. Rabbi Meir holds, Rabbi said, that's what? Day 30, where it has a dual identity. It's day 30 and then Rabbi said, we see this concept, by the way, many times in halacha. For example, again, the most notable example of this is Shiva, right? The last day of Shiva is the last day of Shiva, and also what? The first day of Shloshim. Very interesting idea. So we see this concept that there is a calendrical ability for one day to have two different identities. Therefore, Rabbi Meir's worldview, again, day number 30 counts as the last day of the 30-day period for the sapling to take root, and it also counts as one day of the year representing an entire year. Okay? Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Ushnehem Mikra Echad Darshu. And both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Lazar, dash in one pasuk. I'll say again, this is going back now. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Lazar had the machlokis by the animals, by the karbanos. Rabbi Meir said that by the bull, everybody agrees it has to be 3 years old. According to Rabbi Meir, what's the definition of 3 years old? 24 months and one day. According to Rabbi Lazar, 24 months and 30 days. So the Gemara just says they both dash in the same pasuk. What does the pasuk say? Vahi ba'ach, so I'll say the Gemara is quoting the pasuk over here by the mabul. By the end of the Mabul, the pasuk says, "Vayihi ba'achas v'sheish meos shana." It was on the 601st year. That's the way it sounds. Achas v'sheish meos, 601st year. Berishon ba'echad lachodesh. On the first of the month. Okay. So now watch this. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Meir says, "Mida'akati yom echad hu da'al b'shana." Listen to this. Now, so it's the 601st year. On the first of the month. So Rabbi Meir says like this. The fact that it's the first of the month, v'kakari le'shana. So I will say, what is it saying? Interestingly enough, it's calling it the 601st year, even though what? It's only the first day of the month of the year, right? So even though it's only the first day of the month, it's still calling it the 601st year. What does that show you? Shmamina yom echad b'shana choshuv. So the fact that only one day elapsed of the new year, and yet it's still calling it what? The 601st year shows that one day counts as the whole year. The Idach, Rabbi Lazar will say no. Iksiv b'sheish me'os va'achas shana kid ka'amrit. If it would have said the 601st year like that, then I would agree with you. If it would have said the first day of the 601st year, meaning 601, I would have said that you can bring a raya from there, that even one day counts as the whole year. But hashtabah, how we hear, how is the pasuk written? Ba'achos v'sheish me'os shana. See, interestingly enough, the pasuk is written in an interesting way. It says 1 and 600. Therefore, asheish me'os koi. Therefore, Rabbi Yosef, when it says the beginning is going on the 600th year. Umay achos, aschalta da'achos. What is the pasuk saying? It was the beginning of the 601st year. But what? The year itself was not complete. Meaning it is the beginning of what at the end will be the 601st year. But is it the 601st year yet? No. How does the Torah show that? By stating the date in a way which shows us that there's something, meaning normally you would have said 601. So again, if we would have said 601, then Rabbi Meir, I would agree with you that you could prove from there that one day counts as the whole. The fact that it says 1 and 600 indicates to us what? Torah is telling us it's the beginning of the 601st year, but the 601st year is in fact not complete. Rabbi Lazar, my time. Rabbi Lazar, what is his reason? Why does he hold that 30 days count as an entire year? Listen to this. Dechsiv berishon be'echad l'chodesh. Because the pasuk says, berishon the first, be'echad l'chodesh. Listen to this. Mide'akati yom echadu de'ayo b'chodesh. The fact that it was only the first of the month, and yet what? Vikakari le'chodesh. It's interesting enough, Shemir brings the same pasuk, but he says, it says, berishon be'echad l'chodesh. It was on the first, but yet again, it's considered to be the month. Therefore, what do you see from here? V'kakari lechodesh, sh'mamina yom echad b'chodesh choshuv chodesh. Therefore, Rabbi Loza says, you see from here, the fact that it's only the first of the month, but yet it calls it the month. Therefore, what do you see from here? That one day of a month counts as an entire month. Now watch this, we're not finished. U'mid yom echad b'chodesh choshuv chodesh. Listen to this amazing logic. Now, what we've established on this pasuk is, that one day, once one day of the month has elapsed, that one day has the identity of the entire month. So once one day counts as a month, lamed yom chashuvin shana. So to what? 30 days will count as a year. Now where do we get that from? Shana v'chodesh l'menuyav v'shana, excuse me, chashuvin shana, chodesh l'menuyav v'shana l'menuyav. So listen to this. So Rabbi Elazar's logic is like this. When do we say, what unit of time represents a month? The unit of time that represents a month is the basic unit of time that makes up the month. What's the unit of time that makes up the month?
Is
a day. Therefore, in Rabbi Lazar's model, once one day has elapsed, therefore what? It's counted as if what? The month has elapsed. Meaning, once a basic unit of time that comprises the month elapses, then we count it as if the month itself has elapsed. So, says Rabbi Lazar, when it comes to a year, once the basic unit of time that makes up a year has elapsed, so to what? The year has elapsed as well. What's the basic unit of time that has, what's the basic unit of time that makes up a year? A month. Therefore, Rabbi Lazar Shita is that once a month elapses, that constitutes, again, a halachic year. Again, the ramifications of this are for things like karbanos. Therefore, again, Rabbi Lazar, what comes out of here is a fundamental machlokis between Rabbi Lazar, as well as Rabbi Meir, about in essence how to go ahead and track time. We have again Rabbi Meir saying Yom Echad b'shana chashu b'shana. One day counts as a year. And his raya is from the Mabul. Again, the fact that the Torah calls the 601st year, even though it's at the beginning of the year, calls it the 601st year. You see from here, one day counts as the entire year, and therefore again Rabbi Meir holds that what? That l'maisa again. Lemaisa again, by the par, that has to be 3 years old. Really, what do you need? You need 24 months and what? And one day. And so to over here, the Braisa that we quoted on Testament Days reflects the view of Rabbi Meir. And therefore, again, I need to go ahead and plant my tree. How many days prior to the arrival of the Shemitah year? 30 days. And according to Rabbi Meir, listen to this. Those 30 days allow it to take root. And that 30th day also counts as what? As a day unto itself, which, and therefore, again, that one day really counts as what? One year, and therefore, again, counts as one early year, according to Rabbi Meir. On the other hand, Rabbi Lazar disagrees. Rabbi Lazar says, no, Rabbi Meir, your drasha from the pasuk is flawed, and actually, Rabbi Lazar points out the fact that it says, berishon be'echad l'chodesh, we see from here that what? One day counts as a month, and this establishes, essentially, a time paradigm. What does the time paradigm say? That as soon as you have a basic unit of a whole, it counts as what? As if the whole has elapsed. Therefore, again, the same way that once you have one day counts as the month because day is a basic unit of time, so too when you have 1 month, that counts as what? That counts as the year. So therefore, according to Rebbe Lozer, when you have a par that has to be 3 years old, once you have 24 months and 1 year, that would be enough to what? That would be enough to go ahead, 24 months and 1 month, excuse me, thank you. 24 months and one additional month, that counts as if it's 3 years old. But for other purposes, what would Rebbe Lozer require? Rebbe Lozer would, in essence, require really 60 days. He would require ultimate, meaning, again, I want to be clear, 60 days in order to allow the whole Orla thing to work. Because again, what you would have is 30 days for the sapling to take root, and then the additional 30 days would count as what? Would count as the year, and therefore, again, the sapling would take root, therefore, no problem with Shemitah. 30 days counts as a year, therefore, by the time Tishrei comes around, the plant has already observed 1 day, 1 year of Arla. All right, Tabosei, we'll stop over here. Again, tomorrow, beautiful, beautiful Agarata. You don't want to miss it. Oh, I will say also just a very special Mazel Tov to Richard Simon. Again, every time I wish him a Mazel Tov, because I think it's the last time we're going to see it. But again, we better not see you tomorrow morning. That's for sure. Richard is getting married. Amir Tashem B'Shav Tov Maslachas this afternoon. Richard, in the schus of your incredible hasmada, your diligence in learning, Kodesh Baruch Hu should bless you and your kala with a home, a bayis neman b'Yisrael, a home that's filled with racha, a home that's filled with shefa, a home that's filled with simcha and love, and a home in which the Bono Shel Olam is always able to reside.
Are you allowed a water attachment or nothing?
Say that once more.
So this is a tree planted.
Yeah.
But it's a new tree, so it's not young. It's old. It's not
a
tree.
Oh, yeah.
Are you allowed a water attachment?
Yeah, if you have two weddings.
So really? You planted it.
So it's kind of a wedding day. From the standpoint of the time.
Oh, yeah, because I'm over.
During the Shemitah.
No,
there are certain times where you have to go ahead and order something.